Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. February 12, 2016, marked the 8th anniversary of 9/11 Wake Up Call. On today's show, I'm going to review some of the key points about 9/11 that have led us to where we are today, with 60% of our budget being spent on, quote, the Defense Department, which would be more aptly named the Department of Aggression and Deception to advance empire than the Defense Department. And I'll tell you about some new projects that you may want to support, and we'll discuss where we're at today in the Middle East, all based on the lies of 9/11. As I see it, 9/11 is the key. If you don't understand how you've been lied to and deceived about 9/11 by the government and corporate media, and even some alternative media that is funded by large foundations or billionaires, you can't really understand accurately what's going on today in the world. And perhaps you won't have the awareness of just how deep the lies, propaganda, and corruption go. And most importantly, we won't be able to do anything about it if a significant number of us still believe the propaganda, disinformation, and misinformation, and outright lies being fed to us by the government and controlled media on a daily basis. So first, let's do a basic review of 9/11, and then we'll connect it to how we got to where we are today. Much of what you'll hear today has been explored in past shows in greater detail and depth, and those shows can be found at the website radioforall.net, and that's the digit four, so radioforall.net. Once on the site, search alphabetically for the name Cheryl with a C, and on page three of the C's, click on my name, and the show should pop up in chronological order. First, there's the organization PNAC, or Project for a New American Century, which was a neocon organization, or neoconservative, that in the late 90s and 2000 were advocating for U.S. full-spectrum dominance of the world, but stated that the American people would never allow it nor support the military spending it would require absent a new Pearl Harbor. Many of the neocons had positions of influence within the Bush administration, and actually, the neocons still have great influence in the Obama administration. 9/11 was their new Pearl Harbor, and your world hasn't been the same since. The official government story, which is also a conspiracy theory, is that 19 Middle Eastern men with box cutters hijacked four planes, two of which flew into the World Trade Center towers, one into the Pentagon, and one that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It also goes on to state that the World Trade Centers collapsed due to the fires caused by the jet fuel. There were two government investigations into the events of 9/11. One was the Congressional Joint Inquiry, which happened in 2002, and the other was the 9/11 Commission Report, which came out in 2004. Here are just a few key points that they failed to investigate or mention. There is no evidence that the alleged hijackers were even on the planes. A third World Trade Center tower fell on 9/11 that wasn't hit by a plane. People in the area reported hearing a countdown before the building exploded and collapsed. The government initially identified two alleged hijackers who they had to remove from the list a few days later because one was already dead, and one was still alive and actually worked for the FAA. The FAA employee who discovered that this alleged hijacker worked for the FAA was actually fired for his investigation into that. Many of the alleged hijackers were trained at U.S. military bases and flight schools prior to 9/11. Many of them were being followed and watched and supported financially by Saudi Arabia. And many were being followed by Israeli art students, particularly in the Florida area, who, as revealed by Carl Cameron on Fox News, turned out to be a spy ring. Barry Jennings, who worked for the City of New York, was in World Trade Center 7 on the morning of 9/11 and went on record stating that explosions had occurred in the building and that he was walking over dead bodies as he tried to get out. In 2008, right before the NIST report came out about how World Trade Center 7 collapsed, supposedly due to fires, Barry Jennings mysteriously died. And his family also had moved without a trace. Philip Marshall, who wrote the book The Big Bamboozle about 9/11 and was discussing the content of another book he wanted to write about 9/11, also turned up dead, supposedly killing his two teenage children, the family dog, and himself. Willie Rodriguez, a janitor in one of the towers, heard explosions going off in the basement of the tower before the plane hit the building. He testified before the 9/11 Commission, but his eyewitness account never made it into the report. And the 9/11 Commission never investigated the possibility of controlled demolition or explosives being used, even in World Trade Center 7, which was not hit by a plane. The things I've just mentioned are just the tip of the iceberg. There are just thousands of these kinds of anomalies and questions that surround 9/11. So there's clearly a cover-up going on. And let's talk for a minute about the two reports. The Congressional Joint Inquiry, which was held in 2002 and led by Senator Bob Graham and House Member Porter Goss, both of whom were from Florida and represented the districts where many of the hijackers trained at flight schools. There was resistance initially to form the joint inquiry. In fact, Senator Daschle received anthrax in the mail when he was considering investigating 9/11. And of course, it's been proven that the anthrax attacks were an inside job. And the joint inquiry, as well as the 9/11 Commission report, did not look into actually what happened and who did it. They just assumed that the official account that it was these 19 Middle Eastern men with box cutters that did it, and then went from there looking at mostly how the different government agencies failed to communicate with each other and making recommendations on how to improve that communication. And the 9/11 Commission only came into existence because the family members forced it into existence. They demanded it. They lobbied Congress. And so it came into existence. All the commissioners were Washington insiders and corporate insiders connected to a lot of big business, military, oil, you name it. And as revealed in Phil Shannon's book called The Commission, Philip Zelikow, who was a close friend of Condoleezza Rice, oversaw the commission and wrote the outline of the 9/11 Commission report before the commission members even met. The chairman of the commission themselves have stated that they were set up to fail. John Farmer, the chief legal counsel of the 9/11 Commission, stated that we don't have the truth about 9/11. There are so many people who question the official fairy tale of 9/11 around the world because of these facts and the thousands more like them. But you'll rarely hear about any of these facts in the controlled prestitute media. And if the controlled prestitute media is your only source of information, then you may already be so indoctrinated to the official account that you can't make sense of what the 9/11 truth movement is all about. And then, of course, there's the CIA-created term conspiracy theory, designed to keep you from looking deeper. But what I've presented on this show over the last 8 years is not conspiracy theory, but irrefutable facts. And if you haven't already done so, I really encourage you to take the time to look at the facts surrounding 9/11. It's out there. If you look at alternative sources, these facts are out there. And the reason why it's so important that you know what's happened on 9/11, as I mentioned in the beginning, if you don't get that you've been lied to about 9/11, then you can't get and fully understand what's going on in the Middle East today, or even in your own country. Even most of, and perhaps all, of the domestic terrorism events have been traced back to the FBI setting up the patsies to keep you afraid so that you'll support the billions being spent on homeland security and the wars. And you'll willingly give up your civil liberties, thinking that it's the necessary price for security. So let's talk about terrorism and terrorists for a moment. We know that Osama bin Laden worked for the CIA. His name was Tim Osman. And we know that the Mujahideen, later called Al-Qaeda, were created by the CIA to fight the Russians in Afghanistan in the 1980s. There's no evidence that these relationships ever ended. We know that the U.S. and NATO sponsored Operation Gladio in Europe in the 1960s and 70s, instigating terrorist attacks against civilians and blaming it on the communists to keep them from gaining power in Europe. We also know that the U.S., NATO, and their Middle Eastern allies have created, trained, funded, bought oil from, and provided medical treatment for ISIS. Muslims have been demonized so that Americans and Europeans will support the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria. And if you think that we're in these countries to protect freedom and democracy and fight the people who allegedly did 9/11, here's General Wesley Clark in 2007 explaining what it's really all about.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the Joint Staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, no. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, he reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper, and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today, and he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." The truth is about the Middle East is, had there been no oil there, it would be like Africa. Nobody is threatening to intervene in Africa. The problem is the opposite. We keep asking for people to intervene and stop it. And there's no question that the presence of petroleum throughout the region has sparked great power involvement. Whether that was the specific motivation for the coup or not, I can't tell you, but there was definitely, there's always been this attitude that somehow we could intervene and use force in the region.
So they're a little behind schedule. It's taken them so far 14 years instead of 5 to kill, maim, and displace millions of people to get their hands on the oil. And of course, there are other geopolitical reasons for our being in these countries also. One is that they had their own public banks and were not beholden to the IMF or the World Bank. And some were trading or thinking of trading in euros and other currencies and not the dollar. And once these countries are taken over, their public utilities and industries can be opened up to privatization by Western corporations. And of course, there are other geopolitical problems in the Middle East, like the plan for a greater Israel, that are also behind these invasions. So if 9/11 didn't happen, they'd have no excuse to be in these countries killing, maiming, and displacing millions of innocent people for power and profit. That's why they don't want you to know that 9/11 and the global war on terror are all their own fabrications. Of course, now Russia has entered the picture and is actually targeting ISIS in Syria at the request of the Syrian government. This has complicated things, since the U.S., NATO, and its Middle Eastern allies have covertly been creating and supplying ISIS while publicly claiming to fight them. It's become a bit trickier for them to play this game. One of the things they've done is to demonize Vladimir Putin through lots of media lies and disinformation. Of course, none of this deception would be possible without the complicity of the controlled prostitute media, as Paul Craig Roberts calls it. The good news is that author, journalist, and FBI whistleblower Sibel Edmonds has teamed up with other independent journalists to create a daily independent media source. Their website is newsbud.com, and they're in the organizing and funding stage of development right now. And here's Sibel Edmonds, Pepe Escobar, and a few other of these independent journalists talking about this new project.
The role of mainstream media has changed over the last few decades from reporting news and conveying information to creating markets and encouraging consumerism. This whole notion of journalistic integrity only exists in theory and in academia. In practice, that entire paradigm has disappeared from both the mainstream media and from the pseudo-alternative media. Because when you have a particular interest group giving you millions of dollars to your news organization for you to be the vehicle to deliver their message and get them close to their objective, that is not journalism. And you see media outlets that consider themselves as public model, whether they're public radio or there's a public TV. But when you really delve into it, you see that less than 20-30% of their funding comes from the public. The rest comes from the mega corporations, from the dynasty families, whether they are Rockefellers or Soros or the Koch brothers, and the various agenda groups. And their interests at no point intersects with the people's interest. And funding is extremely important, because when you have mega corporations, the 0.01% funding your media, they are making the people irrelevant. Well, we are creating here a model that doesn't exist today. Our team is made of seasoned investigative journalists, talented, independent producers, podcast and video, editorial cartoonists, analysts, columnists.
What NewsBud wants to do, it's something that on the internet you can see patches here and there, but we'll be trying to do it in a very organized, organic way. From, you know, deep state shenanigans to foreign policy blunders to the new great game all across Eurasia, which is the big story of the future, delivered directly to you, in fact, sponsored by you and financed by you and catering to your own interests and really trying to inform you of what's really going on across the planet.
We know that the mainstream media is bought and paid for. In the pockets of the 1%, they can effectively black out stories from hitting the headlines. At NewsBud, we will report the stories that the mainstream media is being paid not to talk about.
This is a one-of-a-kind chance right now, an opportunity to really be involved in the alternative media and to really make a true impact within this media sphere. And everyone involved in this project, from Sibel Edmonds to Peter B. Collins, Bill Conroy, Pepe Escobar, Tom Secker, Christoph Gehrman, the list goes on. These are real people doing real, actual, important reporting out there.
The only way to achieve this is to have a 100% publicly funded media outlet. And that's exactly what we are going to be about. Meaning there's no loyalty to the billionaire dynasty families. There will be no loyalties to the mega corporations and their advertisement, because we are going to be 100% advertisement free.
With your support, we can deliver the kind of reporting that is sorely missing in America at a time when it's needed more than ever. We're asking for your financial support of our Kickstarter campaign, and for your endorsement of our NewsBud plan to your friends and contacts. Let's change the media in 2016 with NewsBud, the true alternative to compromised media.
Together, we can reach that kind of a media that we are talking about, empowering media.
I'm very excited about this project. It's something we desperately need, and hopefully we can make the controlled and prostitute media obsolete, as more and more people get the truth and see just how much they're being lied to. So to learn more about these efforts, please check out their website at newsbud.com. And speaking of independent media, I want to highly recommend the website globalresearch.ca out of Canada. It has postings from a lot of different websites and people, but it's one of the best sources for really understanding what's going on in the world today, with multiple articles on any given topic. In fact, if you're concerned about the Zika virus, you'll be surprised at what you see there that really varies from what you're hearing in the controlled prostitute media. And I'm going to read just part of a long article that appeared on February 2nd, 2016 on globalresearch.ca. And it's by Geroid O'Colmain, who I discovered this past November, and he's just an excellent journalist out of Europe. And the title of his article is Imperialism's Migration Agenda: Who's Funding the Refugees' Transport to Europe? And here goes. Austrian intelligence officials have reportedly revealed that U.S. government agencies are paying for the transport of migrants to Europe. On August 5, 2015, Austrian magazine InfoDirect reported, quote, "It has come to our knowledge that U.S. organizations are paying for the boats taking thousands of refugees to Europe. U.S. organizations have created a co-financing scheme which provides for a considerable portion of the transportation costs. Not every refugee from North Africa has 11,000 euro cash. Nobody is asking where is the money coming from." French government officials have also been caught selling lifeboats to refugees in Turkey. France's France 2 television station filmed French honorary proconsul François Olcay in Turkey. When the official was asked if she was aware that her actions were illegal, she indicated that there were hundreds of Turkish officials involved. Many of the refugees, migrants arriving in Europe are being provided with false Syrian passports. Until the violence in Syria in 2011, Syrian passports were printed by French government printers. This fact strongly suggests French government involvement in the distribution of false Syrian passports. European governments are outsourcing the management of the migrant crisis to private companies. The aforementioned KTV has also revealed that private multinational project management companies such as ORS Services have been making millions of euros from the plight of refugees. In 2014, ORS Services received 21 million euros from the German government and has seen profits doubling since the refugee crisis. The Austrian newspaper Hoyt reported that ORS made 21 million euros this year alone from the migrant crisis. Shareholder finance of ORS Services is managed by the private equity firm Equistone Partners Europe, an affiliate of the Rothschild-owned Barclays Bank, which is considered to be the most influential financial institution in the world. German economist Wolfgang Frieselben has described Barclays Bank as Rothschild's slaughter ship. Barclays is the most important shareholder of both N.M. Rothschild Bank and Lazard Brothers. Former director of Barclays, Marcus Aegeus, is married to the daughter of Edmund de Rothschild. Aegeus was also director of the British Broadcasting Corporation Executive Board and served in the steering committee of the secretive Bilderberg Group. And that's as much as I'll read of that, but it goes on to talk about how the migration crisis is also a plan to destabilize Europe. I encourage you to check the article out. And again, it's called Imperialism's Migration Agenda: Who is Funding the Refugees' Transport into Europe? By Geroid O'Colmain. Now, we in the 9/11 Truth Movement talk about the deep state, the people and organizations really calling the shots. You just heard one of them mentioned, and that was the Bilderberg Group. Another one is the Trilateral Commission, and then there's also the Council on Foreign Relations. Before I began studying and researching about 9/11, I thought that people talking about these three groups were, you know, kind of crazy, because I never heard about any of this in the controlled media. But now I get it. And here's an interesting clip of Hillary Clinton revealing who her puppet master is. She's speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations. And here she is.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard. And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, I guess, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. You know, shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition, if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor. All of these challenges affect America's security and prosperity, and they all threaten global stability and progress. But they are not reason to despair about the future. The same forces that compound our problems, economic interdependence, open borders, and the speedy movement of information, capital, goods, services, and people, are also part of the solution. And with more states facing common challenges, we have the chance and a profound responsibility to exercise American leadership to solve problems in concert with others. That is the heart of America's mission in the world today. Now, some see the rise of other nations and our economic troubles here at home as signs that American power has waned. Others simply don't trust us to lead. They view America as an unaccountable power, too quick to impose its will at the expense of their interests and our principles. But they are wrong. The question is not whether our nation can or should lead, but how it will lead in the 21st century. Rigid ideologies and old formulas don't apply. We need a new mindset about how America will use its power to safeguard our nation, expand shared prosperity, and help more people in more places live up to their God-given potential.
Her ending there leaves me speechless, considering her role in the total destruction of Libya. So I'm going to close the show today by bringing the focus back to 9/11. The evil powers that be have had their agendas for power and profit long before 9/11, but 9/11 gave them the leverage, the ability to exploit the global war on terror to really move their evil agenda forward. They can now destabilize every country in the world by introducing their terrorists, currently ISIS, into any country they want. And they have the ability to convince Western civilization that they're fighting these terrorists rather than creating and using them for their own evil agenda. They can only do this because they own or control the media. Knowledge about why, how, who pulled off 9/11 and then was able to cover it up is the only way to truly understand what's happening in the world today. The depth of the deception is truly astounding. So if you haven't already done some research around what really happened on 9/11, I really encourage you to do so. Otherwise, you are just in the wrong ballpark. The whole game is very different than you think and that you're being told. To help you out with that research, in the next few weeks, I'll be providing a list of resources on the WWUH.org website. And this concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening. Power to the people.